Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello. Welcome, everyone. It is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SP3. It is Tuesday morning, your weekly non-wrestling chat here on Fightful Overbooked. SP3, it's been a big week for you. I know you're going to hear, you're going to brag about reality wins, fantasy wins. Go ahead. The floor is yours. Just
man, you want to talk about a three-prong attack, three levels of assault. If you don't have followed me already on the Twitter machine at True Hill SP3, but I put it up yesterday morning. I got woken up by my kids, and then I fell asleep watching the Laker game. I fell asleep and I woke up to a Laker win against Jeremy's NBA Finals pick. My Lord.
My champions. Not just my finals pick, my champions.
Not just a regular win. That's against a legitimate playoff contender, even though some of their losses this year haven't looked like they're going to be a playoff contender. It still looks like it's the Nuggets. But the Lakers beat them on the back of LeBron James, having a LeBron James type of game. Anthony Davis with the double-double. Russell Westbrook starting his sixth man of the year campaign. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists off the bench. Come on. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. I want to hear y'all, because y'all was slandering me last week when we were 0-3. We are 0-3, but now we got one win on the board. Jeremy put out a tweet. He was like, only fans that have teams that have at least one win can retweet it. Now I can retweet it. I can go back into my timeline, even though that's going to be a lot of scrolling. I'm probably not going to do this, but theoretically, I can go back in my timeline and I can retweet it now because we got one win. And not only did we got one win, it's on the same week, Jeremy, that I'm versing you in fantasy football, fantasy basketball. And I'm like, I smashed you, man. It was like the San Antonio Spurs versus the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals in 2007. Jeremy can put up all these numbers. He could put up buckets across the board. He's the point guard for a reason. He's the man that people talk about his headlines for a reason. He is an admirable opponent. But he got smashed, like, ridiculously by your boy, SP3. And not just fantasy basketball. No, no, no. In a sport I don't even generally like that much. I like it. I don't like it that much. But I don't like it that much. Fantasy football. Oh, it was even worse. How them ass kickings taste? I'm gonna be like Shaq. Jeremy, tell me how my ass tastes.
You clean up real nice. I know you use a douche and you clean up nice. SP3. You're an asshole. That didn't go where I thought it was going to go. Congrats to your Lakers for their one victory. They are tied with the Magic and the Rockets at the bottom of the standings now. Good job. Congrats on your a winning streak. It's not a streak if it's one.
It's a winning streak. Hey, when you look at the standing, it says W1. That means winning streak one.
It's not a winning streak. You have to, like, take a step. It's a winning It's a winning appearance. You appear, but like to streak, you gotta like go somewhere. You've appeared and you've stripped off the clothes. You haven't started streaking yet. You've gotten naked, and so that's the win. But now you gotta start streaking. So if they beat whoever they play next, I have no idea. I don't care about the Lakers schedule. Then it's a streak. Congrats. Congrats on your fantasy football victories, your fantasy basketball victory. I don't even know what my lineup was like this week. I'm pretty sure I played somebody who didn't play, so that's unfortunate.
Well, fantasy football, I can tell you've given up because you had like two players who were on the injured reserve in your starting lineup. So I can tell you I wasn't really that impressed with my fantasy football victory. I was more impressed with my fantasy basketball victory.
Well, my problem
is you have a good team. You're the top point getter, even though you have a loss.
I know this is what I said last week about fantasy sports, is it's all dependent on the matchup, and it's stupid because I know my team in fantasy basketball is great. But this week, you know, I ran into a good team. I'll give you credit. You don't have any Lakers on your team. That's why they're good. I unfortunately have a Laker on my team. Their fourth best player, which is sad on my part. I'll trade
LeBron
you.
LeBron James?
Yes.
How is he the fourth best player? What?
Oh, Russell team? Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is better. Patrick Beverley is better. And Austin Reeves. Those are the four
now
best
you're being
Lakers.
Ridiculous. Now you're being ridiculous. Now you
those
just
are the
being,
four best
now
Lakers.
You're just being ridiculous. But nah, and then Giannis had a monster week for my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. Like, you had Giannis because you were a coward and didn't take Anthony Davis.
It looks like the smart move, though.
It was a smart move. I know it's the smart move. It was the cowardly move. I will continue to say that, as you didn't take Anthony Davis. But yeah, I did well points-wise. You had the better player. You had the MVP. You had the early season MVP, Giannis's. That dude is something else, man. Like, we already knew he was the best player in the league, right? Like, I don't think that was really debatable. Luka's great. There's a lot of great players. LeBron's still great at his age. Durant, Steph Curry. Like, there's still a lot of, Jokic. Like, there's still a lot of great players in the league. Giannis is just on a different level completely. And without Middleton now, like the fact that they're undefeated, like, man, that dude's special. That dude's absolutely special right now. He's the early MVP. I don't think that's really debatable at this point. I'm not even sure. Nobody else even like stands out too much. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's playing great in Cleveland.
And I also have Donovan Mitchell on my team.
Oh, see, yeah, he had a great week as well.
He had a great week as well. I mean, I would have to look at the standings. I know there are some guys that I thought we're having like really good first weeks of the season, but looking at the
Dame's playing great. The Blazers
are
good.
Dame is an early season MVP right now. Yeah. I would go, man, I mean, early season coach of the year is the new coach for the Jazz. That's all I gotta say. 6-2? What's going on?
I don't know what happened with that team.
With Colin Sexton averaging like 20 minutes a game, like their best player. Like, if you looked at their roster at the beginning of the year, I think Colin Sexton would be far and away the best player that they had. And he's coming off the bench. He's averaging 20 minutes a game. And they're still 6-2.
That I did not expect this from Utah. I don't know if it's sustainable for them, but I certainly did not expect this. But good on them, because that was a team I was afraid of when it came to the tanking standings. I was afraid of them. I was afraid of San Antonio, and both teams are playing really well right now.
San Antonio 5-2.
Yeah. So, you know, keep racking up those early season wins. If they fall off, that's okay. OKC is right where I want them to be. Like, some good wins over the Clippers. Yeah, that's fine. Houston. Yeah. Houston has a problem. They're terrible, and they keep tanking, completely tanking out. Same with Orlando. These teams just aren't good. And I also think
the Rockets are like tanking for Wembanyama.
Yeah, Houston's completely tanking.
But I mean, you put Wembanyama with Jalen Green, and I mean, it's not a bad strategy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Trey Jones says isn't Sexton coming off in the injury from last season. Yeah, so that could be a reason why he's on a little bit of a minutes restriction. But still, I have Clarkson playing. Lauri Markkanen has been killing it. He had a monster game last night for them against Memphis. Memphis was 2 seed last year, and they smacked Memphis last night. early season is always, it's always curious, right? Because I think usually by December, certainly by January, we figured out who's good and who's bad. I like that these early season trends, though, that the teams that we thought were going to be good and the teams that we thought were going to be bad are a little bit flipped right now. Phoenix is good. I was down on them. They're 5-1. They look good. Miami, I feel good about being down on Miami. They have not looked good so far.
No. 2-5, Clippers, not a good look.
Yeah. The Clippers, not looking great. I'm worried about Kawhi. I don't really care. Look, we got the Clippers pick. Cool. Like, we'll take their first round pick. A little bit worried about Kawhi just overall. I don't know if we're going to see that same Kawhi ever again. If we're going to see Toronto Kawhi, if we're going to see San Antonio Kawhi. Just a lot of all these injuries, they just catch up, man. And the older he gets, the more it's just going to affect him. And they can rest him and everything. When he's played, he's been very good. But the fact that he can't play but like one game a week is a little concerning. This feels like it's just more than just a load management, rest them up for the playoffs type of thing. Because then once you get into an actual game and then you try to ramp it up at that point, who knows how his body's going to respond to that. That's some current concerning stuff going on with Kawhi, which is unfortunate because, I mean, he was legitimately top five player over the past 8 years.
Yeah.
So hopefully
I would say top three at one point, top three, top two. I would say after he won in 2019 with Toronto, a lot of people were saying he was the best player in the league after that playoffs that he had. So it is a little concerning for the Clippers. I thought the Clippers would kind of take the spot of the Phoenix Suns in the top half of the West, but it seems like Phoenix is still going to be there. You know, we can't take too much into the early season, but it doesn't look good for the Clippers as far as like Kawhi playing a full season and being healthy by the time they make it to the playoffs. If he even plays a considerable amount of games in the regular season, the Warriors, I just think that it's early season woes and their chemistry just looks off. And Klay is not the same.
I think that's their biggest issue right now is Klay. Like Jordan Poole, he's looked good. Steph is still Steph. You know, they're working in guys like Wiseman and Draymond does whatever Draymond does. But man, Klay, his shooting is just, it's really falling off. And like he's getting looks and everything too. But Klay this season from three, Klay historically, one of the best three-point shooters of all time. 28% from three for Klay Thompson. And you know these are good looks for Klay because they get him a lot of wide-open shots. He comes off of a lot of good screens, the gravity of Steph. Like, their system is good. You know Klay, even if, like, these aren't, like, completely wide-open catch-and-shoot shots, like, Klay has hit all of these shots throughout his career. He's a 40%, like, he's an over 40% three-point shooter for his career. 28%, 34% from the field, like not even shooting well from inside the arc, not even, you know, finishing around the rim and everything. Klay is just not looking like Klay Thompson right now. And that's the Warriors' biggest issue. I mean, you saw it when Booker was barking at him the other week, you know, because Booker was handling him. Booker was giving him some business there.
He was playing good defense on him, but it just, he's a step slower. His shooting is not there yet. I think that it's just an early season, you know, drought for him, and maybe he can pick it up. But yeah, it is a little worrying, those numbers. Those numbers are unlikely 100% across the board. So yeah, the Warriors have some stuff they got to work out. Everyone else in the West, I think, is pretty much where they are supposed to be or where we thought they would be. You know, Mavericks are 3-3. Grizzlies, I thought they would be a little bit better and then 4-3 at this point. Same thing with the Nuggets. I think the Timberwolves are where they're going to be because they have to get their chemistry together with that new team. Pelicans has been a good surprise, even though Professor Nick told us the Pelicans would be good, and they've been proving him right so far this season. Zion, especially.
Zion's been mostly healthy. I like the Pelicans coming into the season. It's very muddled in the middle. And, yeah. you know, I like that, like I was saying, that the teams like the Spurs and the Jazz that people thought might not be good are actually good. Teams like the Clippers and the Lakers, even the Warriors, they all play catch up a little bit. And I think that's going to make it more interesting in the dregs of the season, because like January is usually just, it's a boring time of the season because everything's kind of sorted out by this point. Guys are just kind of going through the motions. They're waiting for All-Star break. They're waiting for the trade deadline to see if anything happens there. So like December, late December, people get up like the Christmas games, but like January is total dregs. But if you have these good teams that now got to play catch up to the teams who we thought were going to be bad, it's going to make for a more interesting January and February, which I'm all about. So I'm cool with like Miami struggling, Brooklyn struggling, the Lakers, Clippers struggling, because it's hopefully going to make them ramp things up a little bit earlier, and then we'll see what happens from there. Do you want to talk about your Nets? Because I ain't got much to say about that guy.
I mean, it hasn't looked good so far, and all I'm hearing is dread and blowing stuff up from the New York media. But if you grew up in New York, you know how the New York media are. They tend to go hyperbole most of the time. But it seems to be kind of an issue and a disconnect between Steve Kerr and his two star players. That's
Steve Nash.
Oh, excuse me. I said Steve Kerr. How disrespectful to the greatest coach of our era. Steve Nash is not that. Steve Nash, he seems to not get on the same page with Kyrie or KD. I don't know what the solution is, because I think it's too early to kind of fire him and cut bait. But I think that he doesn't make it past the season as the Nets coach. The regular season. I don't see him making it through the whole regular season as the Nets coach.
There's a lot going on with Brooklyn. Strictly basketball. I got nothing good to say about Kyrie and his views on stuff. And so I'm not going to say anything about that, but I certainly don't support the things he is saying. Strictly basketball. That is a your turn, my turn team. Ben Simmons looks absolutely afraid to do anything that isn't pass the ball offensively. Like, he's not attacking. He's obviously not shooting. He was never really shooting, but like, he's not even a threat to attack anything right now. And that's very concerning for Brooklyn. As far as like Nash and his system, I don't know if he has a system. I don't know if Kevin Durant and Kyrie just don't want to run the system because they're so used to just how they play that that's how they're going to play. And they are who they are as a basketball team. I definitely think the off the court stuff affects them on the court as well, because I don't know if there's full trust in that locker room. And then, so that's not going to lead to trust on the court. That's a weird team. I don't know if they're going to be able, the problem with blowing it up is, while I do think it might be best, they don't have their first round pick this year. So even if you tank out, you gain nothing from that. I do think there is a scenario where Kevin Durant, who wants to play winning basketball and maybe just doesn't feel like he can win anything with this team right now. He wanted to trade in the offseason. We all know this. This is not speculation or anything. He came out and said as much, that he wanted to trade in the offseason. And now if they keep losing, they called his bluff the first time of like, we'll smooth things, we'll work it out. Durant can now call them and be like, look, I don't care anymore. You're just going to have to trade me. And at some point, they're just going to have to make the move, and they're going to have to accept whatever is in return rather than trying to go down this path. Because the reason you want to go down this path, my mom is calling me. Hold on.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, baby. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing a show.
Oh, sorry. I was just calling back.
You want to say hi to SP3?
Hi, SP3.
Hi, Mama Lambert.
He said hi.
Okay. All right. Call me back about your thing.
Oh, is everything good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Love you.
All right. Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. There's my mom.
I love the calls. My favorite part of FMC.
Durant wants to play winning basketball. And at some point, like, they kept him because I'm sure they thought, like, this is a team that can – it's a talented team. We can win with this team. If they ain't winning, they got to recoup some of these lost draft picks that they've traded over the years. And they'll be able to do that by trading Durant. I don't know what Kyrie's value is. No idea. I don't know if anybody else on the team has any type of value. I do think, like, Royce O'Neal – probably has some value, certainly as a role player. Nick Claxton has some value as well. I don't think Ben Simmons, especially with that contract, has like any value right now. But at some point, if I could see Kevin Durant just being like, look, we ain't winning here. Well, get me out of here. So I'm going to float this to you, SB3, Lakers fan. Kevin Durant for Anthony Davis as a framework deal. Are you taking this? Are you, as a Lakers fan, taking this?
Yes, I am. I want to see KD and AD together, the dream team.
Oh, LeBron. Yeah, it's KD and LeBron together. It's Kevin Durant traded for Anthony Davis.
Oh, traded for Anthony Davis?
Yeah. Who'd you think LeBron was trading LeBron to get Durant?
I thought you were trading LeBron.
No, LeBron can't be traded this season anyway.
This is true. So yeah, I'll do KD and LeBron. Hell yeah. Two of the greatest players of all time. Two of the top 20 greatest players of all time together on one team. Yeah, we're winning the championship.
I'm with you. I would do that trade too.
Absolutely.
Westbrook being there would be great with Durant and Westbrook reunited. You gotta keep Westbrook.
Yeah. Gotta keep the sixth man of the year.
Yeah,
I mean, he's looking more likely to one of my. I said the Lakers were in the running for two of the awards. It doesn't look like AD is gonna be top five because of our record. Only because of our record
prediction.
Only because of our record.
You know, your record would be better. Your record would be better if Anthony Davis played like a top five MVP candidate. It could stay healthy.
What are you talking about? He's not playing like a top five MVP candidate?
No.
That's like saying KD's on a bad team, 33 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists is not MVP type numbers.
It doesn't lead to winning. How many games are they winning?
Hey, that's not, sometimes it's not up to you. You can put
good
up
good for
MVP.
The Nets and the Lakers you can put up
top five MVP numbers, but if your team ain't delivering, you can't be MVP.
Jokic had a shitty team last year. They were a playoff team.
Man, he had Aaron Gordon. That's all I got to say about that.
Better than Kyrie Irving, LeBron James.
Man, Anthony Davis right now, ladies and gentlemen, is...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Averaging 24 points, 11 rebounds.
Great.
And 3 steals? Oh my God. And 2 blocks? Man's MVP type numbers. If the Lakers were 5-1, we'd be talking about Anthony Davis top 5 MVP candidate.
Yeah, but they're not 5-1.
Top 5 MVP candidate.
If you inverse the Lakers record,
if we go on a 10 game winning streak, he's a top 5 MVP candidate.
You know who's the top 5? You know who's a legitimate top 5 MVP candidate? SB3.
Oh God, who are you gonna say?
The Black Steve Nash, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2.4 steals, and a block as a guard? 1.2 blocks per game as a guard?
And guess whose fantasy team he's on?
Shai has been killing it, my man.
I love how every single player you have named that has been playing really well.
You've got a good team.
It's on my team.
You have a good team. I never disputed that. I called you a coward because you didn't take Anthony Davis, but you smartly built a good team.
My team is legit. Too legit to quit. Come on, man.
Bless Shai, who's absolutely killing it. in OKC. He better be an all-star.
How I got Shea, Donovan Mitchell, and Anthony Edwards as my cards? That's ridiculous. No one's beat me this year.
You made good picks. OKC's 3-3. We need to lose a few more. Not happy with some of these victories.
I want y'all to be an 11 seed. That's what I want y'all to be.
Why? I mean, that's fine.
I want you to have the agony of being a good team, but you can't make it into the playoffs. You just missed the playoffs. I like that.
Then we're in the lottery, at least.
Yeah, like that's, yeah you're still in that's the lottery.
Funny. Yeah.
I want y'all to make the play-in and lose. That's what I want y'all to do.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. Like, if we're in the play-in, you might as well just try to win at that point. Like, play-in's the worst case scenario. We don't want to be the Lakers. Just make the play-in and lose. That's no good.
How dare you?
Oh, wait, they didn't make the play-in. I'm sorry. They didn't even make the play-in last year.
We did not.
Oh, they were the 11th. That's why you're so salty about the 11th season.
Exactly. That's why I want you to feel the pain that I went through.
Well, that's okay. If the Clippers are bad, we'll just take their first round pick. So if they finish below us, that's okay. I'm fine with that. I feel like we have another first round pick, but I think it's like from a good team. So
yeah,
nobody's straight
from the Clippers, and then you have your own, and then
we might have like Phoenix's pick, but Phoenix is actually good.
Yeah, they're gonna be good. I was wrong about Phoenix. I'm willing to admit. They're still good. Their window is still open to lose in the semifinals or the conference finals. When people are going to say they're a championship contender, they're not. They got Chris Paul. He's going to choke. Don't worry.
We actually don't. We only have our R's and the Clippers this year. We have Houston's next year. So that'll be nice.
Because they're going to be taken then too.
I think that's why Houston's tanking completely this season, because they don't have picks after this. So they'll get Wembanyama, and then they'll actually be good next year, and then that pick won't be quite as good.
There you go. Yeah. Luis is actually right. He's probably right. CP3 will probably go down before the playoffs.
I mean, it's possible. They're good. Bless the Suns. They didn't look good the first half of the first game of the season, but
they've looked good ever since.
They have. The Mavs, I can't figure out this team. I don't know if Jason Kidd's a good coach. They're very Harden Rockets, and like that works in the regular season. It clearly doesn't work in the playoffs. I mean, they made the West Finals last year because the Suns imploded. They're not always like fun to watch. How do you blow a 14-point lead in 4 minutes to OKC the other night?
Dude, they blew a 14-point lead in 4 minutes to OKC. They blew a 25-point lead in that first game against Phoenix. Like, they are like the Grizzlies of the playoffs. What the Grizzlies were doing against the Timberwolves and blowing all those leads, that's pretty much what the Mavs are doing in the regular season. Well, to start off the regular season so far, they definitely are. They look like one of those West teams that desperately needs a trade. Like, we know the Lakers definitely need a fucking trade. Lot more than that. The Mavs are kind of that team that needs that one trade to kind of push them into kind of the top echelon of the West. They just don't have another guy that can create a shot for himself or others, except for Luka a lot of times. I think that, you know, Dinwiddie's all right and he can create a shot for himself, but he's not consistent. He hasn't been consistent enough this first half of the season. So I think they need a trade at this point.
Well, I mean, what trade? I don't know what they have to trade. So I saw this floated out there.
Man, they need to get Tim Hardaway out of there.
Yeah, that's not a great contract though. But so yeah. I saw this floated out there, and this was before Russell Westbrook started his Sixth Man of the Year campaign. But it was Hardaway Jr., Davis Bertans for Westbrook was the framework of this. Like, I don't know if that helps either team. It gets the Lakers some shooting because Hardaway Jr. and Bertans can't play defense worth anything. Like, he barely plays at this point. But they get some shooting with those two. Westbrook would be in a similar position of he'd have to come off the bench. I don't think him and Luka work together too well because Luka's going to stand around and do nothing offensively. Westbrook's going to stand around and do nothing offensively as well. But we know the Mavs have shooting. It'd be similar to how Russ was in Houston, where you just surround him with shooters, let him attack. Maybe he can, he screened a little bit for Harden, or when Harden would get doubled, Westbrook was good at like cutting to the middle of the floor to give Harden like an outlet and everything. So like it worked a little. It obviously fell apart in the playoffs because it was always going to fall apart in the playoffs. But I saw that floated out there, and I don't know if that works. I don't think that's a deal that's going to happen or anything. I just saw it floated. I don't know what the Mavericks can do. I don't think Hardaway Jr. has that much value at this point. I like Christian Wood, but for some reason Jason Kidd doesn't seem to like him.
Yeah, and he keeps playing. He keeps playing very well for them, and then he just sits them down at key points of games. It's like weird what he's doing with Christian Wood, because Christian Wood's been playing well for them so far. It's just I don't know. Maybe Jason Kidd and him had an argument or something, because it don't look like he likes.
Let's start that Christian Wood said Steve Nash was a better player and a better coach than Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd said, all right, motherfucker, I'm going to bench you.
But yeah, Christian Wood's averaging the second most on this team. He's averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds. So he's been playing well for them, but he's only averaging 26 minutes a game, which is the lowest among like the top scorers on this team.
Okay, be honest with me when it comes to Westbrook. I don't think you will be honest, but be honest.
I'm always honest. I am honest to a fault.
When it comes to Westbrook, because he came off the bench last game. He played great, as you said, 18-8-8, which are very good. And all I saw on Twitter was, oh, this is what you got to do with Russ. Like, he gets the ball in his hands, gets to attack. LeBron's not ball hogging. The offense isn't running through Davis. Russ just gets to be Russ and everything. Is this sustainable? Like, do you really believe that Russell Westbrook is now, because he's coming off the bench, that he is just, he's just fixed and everything is great with Westbrook and the Lakers?
Everything is fine, ladies and gentlemen. Russell Westbrook, sixth man of the year, 13 points per game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. It ain't the triple doubles he was doing before. We all understand he's not that player anymore, but he is a key central part of our team, and the way our team operates and the best way we can operate is with Westbrook coming off the bench. Do I think it's sustainable? Hell no. Do I want it to be sustainable? That's what we need. That's what we need. We need the fans of the Lakers to get behind Russell Westbrook. We need it. We need to get together. We need unity at this time. We are 1-5. We have one of the worst records in the NBA. We need to unify as a force. The Lakers fans is the greatest fan base in professional sports, and we need to come together. Me, Jack Nicholson, Chris Rock, all the people that be at Staples Center, we need to come together, and we need to get behind the Sixth Man of the Year campaign. You know, I don't even remember the last time the Lakers had a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. The last time we had a candidate, Kobe was coming off the bench, ladies and gentlemen. It's been that long. It was when Kobe was a youngster. Come on. We need to come together. Yes, Justin Bieber too. Him too. Him too. I'm sorry. You know, we are sorry to Russell Westbrook that we weren't behind you before. But you as a sixth man, Russell Westbrook, we got it. We're going to win. We're going to be 500. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be 500.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Well, let's look at this Lakers schedule. Hold on.
Oh, God. I don't want to look at the schedule. I just said words. Like, I didn't want to look at the proof that we ain't going to do that, because we looking like we about to be. Okay, we'll be 1-6 after the Pelicans tomorrow.
They got New Orleans. New Orleans is going to be tough. These are all home games, mind you. These are home
games. Jazz can be a win. We're at
Jazz
home.
Are good. Cleveland.
We're on a couple of days rest. Cleveland's a loss. We'll be 2-7. 2-7.
At Utah,
I'll say we'll have the mental edge over Utah. By then, we'll be 3-7. At Clippers, 3-8.
I think Sacramento. They could beat the Clippers. I know they lost to them earlier, but I don't know if Kawhi's gonna play that game.
They have a mental edge against us. We haven't beat the Clippers in how many years? Like, it's been a while.
The Clippers have a mental edge over the Lakers. How sad
in the regular season.
How sad is your team?
In the regular season. Sacramento, that means we'll be 4-8 against the Nets at home. I'll give us that win. We'll be 5-8.
That's still not 500. That's 2 weeks from now.
Okay,
no, the Pistons,
3 weeks.
That's it.
Three weeks. 3 weeks. Pistons, that's 6-8. Spurs, that's 7-8. At Suns, that's 7-9. At San Antonio, that's 8-9. And then at San, back to back at San Antonio.
So by the end of November, you'll be 500. Is this what you're saying?
By the end of November, in a month, we'll be 500.
All right. I look forward to revisiting this conversation at the end of November.
By December 1st, ladies and gentlemen, December 2nd, we verse the Bucks, so we won't be 500 for long, but by the December 1st, we will be 500.
Good luck to your Lakers. Yeah, Lakers-Nets is a dumpster fire of a game. It's going to be a good game.
It'll probably actually be a good game, but
just between two trash teams.
We're not trash teams. We're trashly organized.
They got three wins combined. They're trash teams.
We are trashly organized teams. I like that.
They're not organized at all. Yes. Absolutely not.
That's why they're trashly organized.
But the most disorganized franchises in the league at this point. They're both a garbage fire mess. I can't believe they've just ruined the legacy of Russell Westbrook like this by putting him on the Lakers.
I can't believe Russell Westbrook ruined the legacy of the Lakers.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, he did.
What?
Exist.
Play hard?
Exist.
While everybody else gets hurt around him?
He played hard?
Yeah.
He played hard like Rasheed Wallace. Both teams played hard.
How many games he played last year compared to LeBron and Anthony Davis? He's trying to will this team to victory.
Congratulations, you didn't get injured.
Yeah, health is part of the game.
You didn't do much to help us when you were on the court.
The roster didn't do much to help them because that roster was so terribly constructed. And they gave Pelinka a friggin' contract extension because of it.
He did deserve it after the first season.
Don't even say he deserved it. Do I need to show the DMs here? You were in the DMs trashing Rob Pelinka.
I said, read the DM. I said the 2022-2023 Los Angeles Lakers. I specify these things, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Pelinka did a good job with the 2019-2020 Los Angeles Lakers. He just hasn't done a good job since.
He got an extension this offseason for no reason.
Hey, he got it for us winning the championship in 2020.
For no reason. Yeah, you said you constructed a fantasy football team like Pelinka constructed the 2022-2023. That's what we're talking about, SV3.
Hey, he got his extension for winning the championship in 2020.
Then he should have got it two seasons ago, not this season.
You can't give somebody extension when they got 3 years left on your deal. You do it
sure
when they got 1 year left.
Sure
you do it
you
when
can.
They got 1 year left.
You can sign them when they have 3 years left. You can add an extension to that.
No. It's fine. You're fine. It's fine. It's fine.
They gave him an extension. Don't give him an extension based on two. Then they should have given Vogel an extension based on 2 years ago as well.
I agree. I never agreed with firing Vogel. I think he was a scapegoat.
I mean, he definitely was. You know why he was a scapegoat? Because it was a poorly constructed team, and they gave an extension to the guy who constructed the team.
Hey. He was Kobe's agent. So
have you heard this theory?
For that.
Have you heard this theory? I love this theory. That Pelinka and Jeannie Buss are tanking LeBron James so he doesn't catch Kobe in rings. This is my favorite theory ever. I love it. I love this.
I love that theory. I love that theory, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I am here for it. If that's what they're actually doing, I'm here for it, and they must be a Laker fan out of my own heart because I would do the same thing. We got that one championship.
Yeah.
That's all we need. That's all we need. We just needed one with you, LeBron. You don't need to win anymore. Because why would he blow up the team that won the championship in 2020 and construct a team that wasn't like that team? I said this last week. The formula that won us the championship was LeBron playing point guard, AD at the four, and just a big man who can protect the basket and rebound. That's all we did in 2020, and we have not duplicated that type of team since then for 2021, 2022, and this season.
Oh, Alex McCarthy is trying to send me scoops that I already know. Sorry.
Alex is like, I got the scoop for you.
Hold on. Let me DM Alex McCarthy. He's, for some reason, a Lakers fan.
Don't do this to us. Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that, Skip. You saw Skip got so upset that Shannon wore a Skip mask.
I saw that yesterday. That was great. They should tank LeBron James's legacy so he doesn't catch Kobe. I love it. Yeah. I'm all for it.
That's actually incorrect, Trey Jones. More rings equals more money for them. More rings don't really equal that much more money. Like the richest team in the NBA hasn't won a championship in 50 years. The New York Knicks. They're the richest team. They make the most money. The Lakers just need to win a championship every decade, and that's what we pretty much do. And then we can live off that. Even in the years that Kobe was getting hurt and we were getting draft picks like D'Angelo Russell, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, we were still the second richest team in the NBA. We were still making the second most money behind the Knicks. It depends on the market, and it depends on creating an image. If your image is, you can win championships, then all you have to really do is win a championship every 10 years or so. And the Lakers have pretty much done that better than any other NBA team. The image of the Knicks, why they make so much money, is because it's Madison Square Garden. It's the mecca of basketball, New York, despite the mecca not winning a championship in 50 years.
Congrats to the Lakers on their next championship during the next pandemic.
2030 is not that far, man.
Are we going to have a pandemic in 2030?
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not either.
I hope not. Yeah. We win a championship. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. We win a championship every 10 years or so.
It does matter what the conditions
We've been in NBA finals every of the past, five decades?
We said Celtics are still living off rings won in Bible times. I mean, that's very true.
This is true. This is very true. Like, The Celtics had 11 rings when the NBA was full of construction workers and librarians and shit. And they still are tied for the most championship ring. It took us, 50 freaking years after those 11 championships to finally tie them?
The most overrated big three of all time is Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen.
I agree. 100% agree with you. I've never seen a big three get that glorified for one championship.
Yeah. That's my hot take on the Celtics. I don't even know if it's a hot take, but that's my hot take on the Celtics.
It's just the truth.
Anything else basketball you'd like to talk about, SP3?
Nah, I think I'm exhausted of trying to sound, positive about my Lakers. That's exhausting. That was a little exhausting. So we could talk about challenge or something else. I actually caught up on the challenge because I took your advice and went on the website.
There you go. See, I told you. We'll talk about
the challenge. I just have to create another email because they only give you a 24-hour pass, though. That's the only disappointing thing.
Fucking Ricochino. Hold on. People are DMing me this morning. Stop DMing me.
Uh-oh. Is everything breaking as you're doing the show?
No. So I'll let anybody in on the scoops here. So here's the DMs that are getting. So, GCW, we're talking about wrestling. Fuck. GCW put out the thing of like, we got a big announcement at 9:30. I knew what the scoop was. Okay, Sean interviewed Brett Lauderdale. I watched the interview and transcribed it as it was happening. All right. So I actually knew what it was when I sent out my tweet of like, hey, DM me the scoop so I can pre-write this story. The story was actually already pre-written by me. So I already knew it. So McCarthy DMs me. He's like, don't know if you still need the scoop, but here you go. GCW is going to Fight Plus. So I was like, thanks, Alex. Then I DM'd him this link. to see if you want to talk about the Lakers. So there's behind the scenes scoops on that. I knew what that story was. Achino DMs me and he's doing something because Taylor Swift is coming to Cincinnati next year for her tour. And so Achino needs the Taylor Swift scoops. So he messaged me and he's like, what's the popular Taylor Swift song right now? And I was like, well, there's no technical single off of Midnights because there's not. But I was like, Antihero is the one that's like getting the most plays and stuff. He's like, okay, thanks. And then he messages me. He's like, you'll never guess what classic Taylor Swift. He's like a radio DJ. You'll never guess what classic Taylor Swift song I played as part of my second rap. And so I guessed Teardrops on My Guitar, which is like one of her first big singles. And he messaged and he says, it's not quite that classic, Romeo and Juliet. Rick Achino, the song is not named Romeo and Juliet. It is named Love Story. Do not come in my DMs asking me for Taylor Swift facts and then getting your own facts wrong. I guess this is why you need my help, but don't mislabel the song name. What are we doing? What is happening?
Everyone, I want everyone to tag Jeremy Lambert and think of a Taylor Swift song, but put the wrong title to annoy
Don't
Jeremy.
Don't do that.
Today.
I will
please
block
do
you.
Jeremy today. Do that to Jeremy today. Make sure that you tag me as well. You can tag me in the comment as well. I just want to see everybody get Taylor Swift songs wrong. What
I
was
will
that?
Block you.
What was that one off our new album you was just talking about? Stone Cold Steve Austin?
What?
It's called Stone Cold Steve Austin or something like that, right?
Yeah, stop it. Oh, knock okay. this off.
Okay. I'm just making sure I know the songs, you know. The great Taylor Swift.
Carly Rae Jepsen album was very good. It was not better, but it was very good.
I agree, Luis. Props. I agree.
You haven't listened to any of you. Knock it off, SB3.
I agree.
If anybody wants to fund my trip to Pittsburgh for the concert, tickets are actually seemingly reasonably priced. I'm hoping to get tickets. I've signed up for the pre-sale, and you know, you got to get like, it's very weird how tickets work nowadays, SB3. Like, you have to sign up for a pre-sale. And then, like, maybe they'll select you as a verified fan and put in, like, a lottery to win these fucking tickets, to purchase the tickets. You don't even win them. Like, you have the distinct honor of spending $500 on these tickets. Like, thanks.
What an honor.
Yeah. Nonsense. Just let me go to the ticket box office and just, like, fight people for tickets like the old days. Let's settle this how we used to settle this back in high school. That's how it worked back then. Go to like the local, I used to sell tickets at like the mall. You just go to the mall and you'd like buy the Ticketmaster booth at the mall. You never had this?
Oh yeah. I had Ticketmaster booth at what was it? Manhattan Mall, which is near Madison Square Garden.
See, the wife would say like there was like a ticket booth like Macy's. I went to Harris Teeter and would get tickets. That's how you got tickets back in the days before the internet was a thing, and then you just had to wait in line and hope that scalpers didn't get all the tickets. Yeah.
I remember when I had to go to Madison Square Garden to actually get tickets for a match.
Yeah, you go to the box office, but you know, some people live far away and couldn't like actually go to the box office. So
yeah, they would have to call. You could call. Remember before the internet?
Yeah.
It was calling.
You have to call, or yeah, some like malls or stores would have like little ticket master. Yeah. I used to go to Harris Theater, the local Harris Theater, and you could get, it was like a little Ticketmaster booth at Harris Theater, and that's how you would buy the tickets back in the day. These are things that happened. People don't understand this, like fucking Jarrett Bailey not knowing what AIM is.
He didn't even know what basketball was when I made the basketball reference.
Yeah, Jarrett Bailey. I'm trying to see if he wants to go to the concert with me in Pittsburgh.
I love Jared Bailey because he's so young that he makes everyone else, for making a reference that is pretty common to everyone else, he makes us feel like we're the odd ones that know this stuff.
I'm gonna send this link to Jared Bailey. Maybe he wants to come on and defend his youngness. I don't really know how he defends his youngness, but
it's admirable.
How can you defend, like, being young? It's just a fact.
Hey, I gotta hand it to him though. He's doing well in our fantasy league. He created the league, so if he didn't do well, you know, it would be all
because he rigged it. That's why I don't care about that fantasy league. No one can see.
I just opened the thing.
No one saw that. It just looked like a black screen.
Let me turn up my brightness. You see that score? You see that? Really. That's me smashing.
Nobody can
smash
really,
Jeremy.
All we see is like the reflection of the show, SP3. You need to There we go.
Look at that.
Good job.
Smashed him.
You beat a team named after Baker Mayfield. Congratulations.
I don't know why you named your team after Baker.
Because I knew we weren't gonna be good because I got fucked over by Jared Bailey. Told me I had the second pick or the first pick.
Well, you lied.
And I had the 12th pick.
So what? He lied. Live with it. Me and him are tied for first. We're 7-1. We're both
because
7-1.
He rigged the league. Good job.
Hey, he didn't rig the league in my favor. So I'm thinking
he rigged
I'm doing
it in
very
his
well.
Favor and you were a beneficiary of it.
Okay. That's cool. That's okay.
Trey Jones, do you not know what AIM is? These youngins, SP3.
See?
Youngins.
Thank you. Thank you, Luis. He says the Harlem Heaters is great. What a name. You know?
Sure.
What a name. What a name. I already have a city name. I already have a city for my team. We're building the stadium right now in Harlem. It's going to be on 110th Street. In Harlem, New York. Like the Harlem Heat was supposed to be from.
Yeah. You're gonna sell Harlem Hangovers? Like, is that like your drink? Special cocktail?
Special cocktail on a fixed menu. Now it's gonna be like Atlanta Juneteenth episode. With a whole bunch of Juneteenth type drinks. That's what we're gonna have at the Harlem Heaters Stadium.
I invited Jared Bailey on to try to explain what AIM is, but he's a coward as well. So AIM, Trey, it was a messenger system. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. It was through AOL. It was a little messenger system. And this is how you would just send messages to your friends back in the day. It wasn't social media or stuff. They were all private messages. And there were like chat rooms on like the AOL chat room and stuff, but AIM was just a messaging system. You could do like group chats and stuff, but that's what AIM was. That was the hip thing back in the day. You'd come home from school and you would get on AIM and chat with your friends, and you'd set your away message to Limp Bizkit lyrics and whatever else.
Mine was Eminem lyrics.
Yeah, there you go. Some type of lyrics is typically what people would have for the AIM.
Whatever messenger. You say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am?
Banger song, man.
It is. Still one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I did see Will Washington on Twitter, I think the other day, say that it always annoyed him that that song played on the radio the first time he heard it. And you have the line Eminem says, "Radio won't even play my jams." He was like, "They literally are." I was like, I did peep that as well. I did feel like that sometimes as well.
Will Washington is a Mariah Carey fan, and he is just trying to slander.
This is true. This is true. This is also true. I agree.
I had that discussion with him on Day After Dynamite. That he actually admitted that like Eminem kind of got her on that one.
Oh, when he played her voicemails, I still remember that. Yeah. I still remember that.
He actually admitted, he's like, pretty sure those voicemails were real, so I can't really say a whole lot about that.
He was like, "I'll take that L."
Will's got to commit to the bit on that one. You just got to defend it. You got to defend, even if you're wrong, doesn't matter. Got to defend your girl.
This is true. This is true.
It is Mariah season.
It is.
It's past Halloween. It is Mariah
season. Trust me, I worked at Macy's, Victoria's Secret. All those places play that song without fail on November 1st.
Every single time. Yep.
Every single time.
Every single time. Ah, man, look, it's a good album. Like, she's good. Mariah Carey's good.
Okay, so we did have a conversation, I believe. I do agree, Trey. Old Eminem is great. New Eminem.
I don't mind some.
I don't mind new Eminem at all. He's still the same Eminem a lot of times for me. I enjoy his music, but I will say, like, from Slim Shady LP to Eminem Show is peak Eminem for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those three albums, Slim Shady LP, Marshall Mathers LP 1, and Eminem Show, those are the GOAT. It's that is like, that's like the, if it, whatever Eminem will do, I will separate that Eminem from everything else. Just like nowadays, I separate College Dropout, Late Registration, and Graduation to whatever that guy's doing anymore. Whatever he's doing, that's not the same person that made those three albums. Nah, it's literally a daily gag for me and the missus of sending random stuff that Kanye has said or interview he's done just to make each other laugh at his outrageousness.
Hold on, let me download this video. You'll know it. You'll know it once you see it. I'm gonna download this. I'm gonna talk about the Marshall Mathers for a second. I do think when it comes to him, the three you mentioned, yeah, fantastic. Encore, not great. I mean, he admitted that one wasn't great.
Relapse. I actually really like Relapse, and he shits on Relapse, but I really like Relapse.
The beats
from Dre were fantastic on that album.
The accents did get a little bit much. There's like not some horrible stuff, but the accents did get a little much on that. I think Recovery is super underrated.
Like, Recovery is right up there with those three albums. I would say Recovery is better than Slim Shady LP. I would say it's top three.
Recovery is really good, I think. I like Marshall Mathers LP too. I understand, like, if he names it something else, people probably look at it a little bit differently because it was never going to be like live up to the first one. But I do think the second one is good. Revival is, like, there's some decent tracks. I do think, like, people are a little harsh on it, but I also understand why they're a little harsh on it. I thought Kamikaze is actually like really good.
I really love Kamikaze. I remember the weekend that dropped, and I was listening to that on replay. Same thing with what was the next one? Music to
Be Murdered By. Yeah,
To Be Murdered By. I actually like that one too.
So like Music to Be Murdered By, the B-side stuff, I'm not like completely a fan of, but the initial album, I think there's some good track. Like there's some good stuff on his albums. I don't know if there's any like full-on classics like you would call his early stuff, but like there's plenty of like overall good tracks. I'm not into hip-hop as much as I was back in the day. Like the new stuff just doesn't appeal to me at all. R.I.P. Takeoff, by the way. That's a fucking tragedy at 28 getting shot in Houston. So RIP nice to Takeoff.
Like, RIP to Takeoff. And I literally watched the Atlanta Migos episode like I think 2 days ago, and I was like, damn, woke up to that news. That was crazy.
Can I add this video? So Trey Jones says Revival till now was ass.
I don't think it was ass. I think that's a little harsh for me.
Like Kamikaze's got some
the one with Jonah Lucas, that made me discover him.
Yeah, Jonah Lucas. I like that song.
That song is dope. Kamikaze itself is dope. Yeah, I like a lot. I don't like Revival. I don't like
all the that. Songs. All the songs with
Revival. I can honestly say you could throw that in the trash. You could throw that in the trash.
All the songs with Royce that he's done since then, I think, are great. Like I think Not Alike is great. The song on I'm terrible with names. The song I thought for some reason I thought it was on. Oh yeah, You Gonna Learn. I thought that was on Kamikaze, but it's on Music to Be Murdered By. Like all the songs with Royce are great. Royce is fantastic to me as well. All right, here we go. This fucking clip with Kanye.
The thing about the red hat that drove me to a point of exhaustion which was misdiagnosed by a, I'm not going to say what race, what people, doctor, and what hospital, and what media went to. We know I can't say that. It was a Jewish doctor.
You know I can't say that. It was a Jewish
The way he like folds his arms. I thought he was about to, yeah, I thought he thought like doctors were a race. Like, I'm not going to say what race, doctor. Like, wait, huh? You think doctors are a race?
Yo, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was the last video I think my missus sent me in the middle of the day. Like, watch this. And I was just like, yo, he's just so out there. He's too gone. He's gone now. No, the one she sent me this morning. She sent me a video of him basically alluding to Kris Jenner having sex with Drake. He was like, Drake, yeah, Drake, he's helped out my mother-in-law. He was like, what do you mean helped out? He was like, he helped her out in, you know, a lot of ways she needed. Ex Corey.
I feel like he said this before, and he's so mad that Pete Davidson fucked Kim Kardashian, and that Pete Davidson has big dick energy. He's very mad about all of this stuff. He's out there, and it's sad. Because he needs something. I don't know, help, whatever. I mean, he definitely needs some type of help, whether it's a friend, it's sad. All right. I don't like promoting what Kanye does and says, because a lot of stuff he promotes and does and says are not correct.
No, so. Not at all. That's why I said I separate that guy. He is now. To the guy that came out with his first three albums.
Music was good.
Yes.
Music was good. As a person, got no time for him.
Nah.
But bless his Michael Scott ass right now, giving us quotes like that.
Yes, yeah. He is definitely, if you want an easy pop, just get a Kanye interview and you'll laugh at something he says because he's so far gone.
Somebody's got to help him, though. Someone needs to interview him and help him, not just... Yeah. Use him for Kanye. If you're listening to this, come on our show. We will help you. We will not turn you into a meme. Right? We'll try to do good things for you. And remind you that you used to make good music.
We had Kara and Paulie on our show, and you see you got cast members on the challenge actually defending them now. Norice went on her old IG live and was talking about how people in the house were talking crap about them in, you know, this season. And then you want to know who gave themselves away? Because Norice literally said during the IG live, I'm not going to say any names, but yeah, there was just certain people, you know, talking. And, you know, the fans alluded to who they thought it would be, like Bananas, like Laurel. One of them, a couple of people said Nani. And Nani gave herself away. Nani got a comment like, oh no, I didn't say anything about them. I was barely out of my room. I stayed in my room most of the time with Casey. And I was just like, you gave yourself away. We know it now. We know you was talking crap. Why everybody got to talk about Paulie and Kara when this season was tailor-made for them to come on and get Paulie his first win?
Let's talk about the challenge. Jordan's back. Anissa's there as well. I was very sad that him and Tori just got along. I was like, I want the best for you. I'm sorry. No, we want some drama.
Like in the trailer, they made it seem like Tori was gonna like yell at him for, you know, him knowing that she was on and she didn't know he was coming and whatnot. And nope. They just had a special moment. She cried a little bit, said, I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I slept with Fessel.
Oh yeah, him like, I want my real name because I'm a decision maker.
And then he makes a horrible decision. It's like, yo, this guy is just too. I understand why they keep inviting him back. He is reality gold because he literally goes back on everything he says, and he's the one of the most ironic people ever. That his name means decision maker, and he makes nothing but bad decisions.
He, And he won this challenge with Mariah. So good on him, I guess. They did a segment on him cuddling with like every woman in the house. He's gonna fuck himself over, as he always does. And it's gonna blow up for him.
Because he's cuddling with Michelle, Laurel. He's going after Annalise and Colleen. Yeah, he's got his hands in a bunch of cookie jars.
Yep.
But I will say, Johnny Banana sound like he was hating.
I mean,
when he described it, it sounded like a little attention.
Because Bananas has been there.
Bananas used to be that guy. I think that's why he's like a little bit jealous. Maybe he's a little bit jealous.
Maybe he's a little salty. I think he's trying to save him, though. Maybe. They won the daily. They picked Johnny and Raven. It's just boring picks all around. Annalise and Tommy.
He picks none but rookies. It's like, dude, like, haven't you learned that maybe you should target some people that will beat you in a final? Like, I would immediately thrown Jordan into the mix. At least throw him into the mix.
Especially with this format. Because you get three picks, basically. And then you put it on the team that doesn't make the save. You put it on them that screwed up, not you. So this is an easy format for the winners to kind of skirt a little responsibility with who they end up throwing down there. And I don't know, it's just nothing but rookies. Annalise and Tommy get saved. They save Colleen and Kim. Horatio and Olivia go in. They win.
And that was another dumb decision by Tommy and Annalise. Like, yeah. If it's me and Cher are partners and we're in that situation, I'm saving Horatio and Olivia. You know why? Because they will probably win a challenge way before Kim and Colleen to save me next week. Like, I'm going to pick the team that will actually benefit me in the long run. I'm not going to just pick the team that's also rookies that haven't gone down yet.
And, I mean, Horatio and Olivia for the second straight week win in the zone.
This was one of the most one-sided.
Yeah.
Like, it went three rounds, but it's only because Johnny pulled out that second round out of his ass. Because he was literally inches away from losing and just found the strength of, like, Goku and just pushed Horatio into his side. But that Olivia-Raven matchup wasn't even close.
That wasn't fair. It was
that 4K zoom-in on Olivia, though, was one of the greatest shots in challenge history.
It was called Double Decker. It was similar, like it was just hall brawl almost of where they just met in the middle. And yeah, the women's thing was not competitive at all. That was a great shot. Horatio and Olivia come back. Johnny and Raven are gone. That's Cher's team. So, and the chat's doing well, man. Chat's got Horatio and Olivia.
The chat knew something that we didn't know by getting Horatio and Olivia back-to-back elimination wins. The chat also got the winner of the daily this week. Man, the chat's killing. Imagine the chat win. The chat's about to win this whole thing. Imagine.
I'm going to be wearing penis necklaces. So we've all got one team eliminated now. That's where the standings are. We've all got one team eliminated. The season, this is a bad episode. I didn't think this is a good episode. Going after rookies, too much centered around Fessy. Jordan and Tori playing nice. Ain't about this.
And apparently, what I heard was Norris and Raven had a fight, which makes the whole argument between Raven and Johnny at the bar make more sense of why she was acting like that to him, because it felt weird because they had that whole conversation with Norris earlier in the show where they were like, all right, we're going to try to get on good terms or whatever, and they didn't have any like big faults for them during the challenge. They just fell in the water like everybody else. So when they were arguing in the bar, I'm just like, Raven, why are you acting like that? And then I heard after I watched it, it was like, oh yeah, there was a fight, an argument in the house between Norris and Raven. Apparently Johnny and Devin convinced Norris that Raven was talking shit about her, and that caused the whole fight between them. And apparently a lot of the fans are saying is the MTV edited that out because that would have put Bananas and Devin in a bad light.
they should have shown. They should have shown that.
Yeah. It just would have made sense for the episode that they were shit going for. Like, how do you show that argument where it just looks like Raven just looking salty because this guy hooked up with another girl when y'all were never in a relationship? So I don't understand why you're so upset. You're so mad at him right now. Like, get over it. If he's saying y'all going to be in elimination, focus on that. Talk about that. Why are you still talking about the relationship unless something else happened? And it did.
Yeah, that's lame. That would have spiced up this episode, because this episode just not good.
It was all about the elimination was good. That's it. I mean, the challenge elimination wasn't even that good.
Yeah.
The challenge wasn't even that good. It was you do the little rope toss and then you lean it over. No, that was the one last week. What was this week? Oh, it was the barrel thing. Yeah, that barrel thing, that was whack.
You watched the new season of Love is Blind? SP3?
I have not yet.
The new episodes.
I have a lot of stuff I'm either finishing up or watching at the moment. Atlanta's got two more episodes before they finish up. I'm also, you know, Abbott Elementary, as I always tell you. I love that show.
I watched the episode that you thought was the premiere with the mix up on the delivery. We watched that episode, and we watched the episode after that, which was the, I can't think of their name now, the group that Jacob was part of, that whole thing.
The Kung Fu Samurai.
Yeah. That whole
game. Mr. C.
It stands for Mr. Corny. We've learned that now. That was a good episode. Yeah, We watched those two episodes, and then we'll continue on at some point of the rest of our journey. But Love is Blind, we've been watching that. That's sort of where we're at. I want to say this very quickly before we finish up, because I put it in the description. I know you're not a football fan, SP3. The Carolina Panthers lost on Sunday.
Yes, they did.
Good. People are messaging me like, oh, I'm sorry that they lost. Like, that was a heartbreaking way to lose. Here's what happened, everyone. It looked like they were just going to lose just in regulation. PJ Walker throws a great pass to DJ Moore to tie the game after the touchdown. All they got to do is kick the extra point. But DJ Moore takes his helmet off, which is a penalty. Cam Newton, by the way, got hit with the same penalty last year. He took his helmet off after a touchdown. Just runs in Carolina, I guess. So it turns into a 40-yard extra point, which is insane. The kicker misses it, because of course he does. And then in overtime, they get another chance to win it. A 33-yard field goal. Misses that. He'd only missed one kick all season, mind you. Misses two in the span of about a half hour real time. And then they end up losing on a field goal. And people are like, oh, it's such a heartbreaking way to lose. They would have been first place. They would have been tied for first place in the division. Had they won, they would have had the tiebreaker, because they would have been 3-0 in the division. Oh, you must be so upset that they lost. No, absolutely not. Because this team isn't good. If they win and they maybe make the playoffs, then they lose in the first round because they're not good enough to beat like the Cowboys or the Eagles or any other team that they would play in the NFC. The Vikings, they're not good enough to beat these teams. I don't even know. They would be in as a division winner, not a wild card winner. The division or the wild card winner would probably have a better record than them anyway, because the division's just that bad. Team's not good.
I mean, the NFC is not good in general.
I mean, they got the best team in the league. They got
Eagles. Yeah, the NFC East is good. The NFC overall is not good.
Sure, but regardless, they're not winning anything. So I don't want them to win this division and make the playoffs. I'd rather them lose. I'd rather them get the high pick and get a good quarterback, because they need a quarterback. No offense to XFL legend PJ Walker. He's played well, but there's also a reason why he hasn't started in the years that he's been in the league, and they keep trying to find a new quarterback. He's not very consistent, and that's the issue with PJ. He's not the long-term solution, PJ Walker. Just not. They need an actual quarterback, a franchise quarterback. And you're not going to get that with the 13th, 14th, 15th pick. You can get it with a top five pick, especially with this quarterback class coming up. Lose. Be great or be awful. Do not be mediocre. Mediocre is hell.
That's what basically your minimum axing point for your teams.
Yeah. Be great or be awful. Be good enough to where you're gonna be a championship contender. You might fall short. It happens, right? I put up with the past few Av seasons before they did win the cup. They were a great team. They were a championship contender. They fell short. That sucks, but they were a great team. Otherwise, be awful. Don't be in the middle. Because if you're in the middle, then you get nothing out of that. And people are like, oh, you're in the middle. You can improve. You can improve from the middle. No, because teams just get stuck in the middle. That's a TV show, by the way. They get stuck in the middle. Okay? How long have the Hornets been in the middle? Because it's like, oh, we want to be great. But they're just a team that's just stuck right there. Be awful. Get good picks. And then hit on those picks because you could just be awful forever like the Orlando Magic. It doesn't matter.
This is true.
You're actually awful.
They only hit on picks when they draft a center or a big man at number one.
I don't want mediocre. I don't want a first round, especially when I know the team's not good. It's one thing if like no expectations and they surprise people and they're in the middle, kind of like the Thunder this year. If the Thunder make the play-in, like I'm not going to be super mad at this because I actually think they're too good to be like very bottom to get Wembanyama. So I'm not expecting to be like the worst team in the league. There's too much talent on the team. This Panthers team like legitimately isn't good. They just traded McCaffrey for a reason because they know they're not good. This is not a good football team. The only reason they're in this position is because the rest of the division sucks. So just be awful. And then you can look back and be like, oh, we kind of got some pieces in place here. We just need a little bit more. And then we can start building back up. And what they need is a quarterback. And you're not going to get that if you have a middle-of-the-road pick. So,
that's true.
Be awful. Okay? Be awful.
Look at the inspirational speech from Jeremy. Be awful.
Yeah.
Or be great. Exactly. Simple words. Simple words. They put that on a t-shirt.
We should. Anything else you would like to speak about SP3?
I think that covers everything we usually talk about. We talked about the challenge. We talked about basketball. We even got some football in. What's your World Series pick? I guess it has to be the only other major sport that's still going on.
I don't know. Phillies, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going for the Phillies only because the Astros beat my Yankees.
That's fair. I have not watched like much baseball at all. And I typically like watching the baseball playoffs because I like watching the best teams compete. Yeah. I didn't watch too much baseball.
It's tough.
I hope both teams I hope have fun. That's one.
I hope both teams play hard.
It looks like it's been like a good series so far. So
hey, and they're not going to be interfering with SmackDown. SmackDown's going to be on Fox this week.
Sure. I mean, I'll watch it regardless. Like it's, even if it's on, Fox Sports 1, like we get Fox Sports 1. So why are we talking
FS1 about FS1 used to be the spot for TNA.
Okay. And sure. It did actually. Yeah. Fox Sports. It was just Fox Sports back then. Yeah. Fox Sports, the local. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. SP3, plug some stuff if you would like.
Follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. I should be on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Figure it out. True Hill Heat YouTube channel. That's how it's spelled right there behind me. TrueHillHeat. Subscribe over there. I'll be back on there on Thursday, 1:05 p.m. Eastern time with AE Ramble with Jimmy Macaram. And Saturday, won't be this Saturday. The following Saturday, True Hill Heat 200 on November 12th. So join us for that.
Tell Riccicino when you see him on Believe, I'm going to punch him in the face for trying to act like asking me Taylor Swift questions and then getting information wrong. All right. Not having this, Chino.
What's that one song everybody likes from Taylor Swift? Brush Your Hair?
Every single one of them. Every single one of them is actually
good. Brush your hair. Ooh.
I can't wait for this concert. This is my Christmas gift to my wife. Taking her to a Taylor Swift concert. She's very pleased with me.
Was it Brush Your Hair or is it Shake Your Tail Feather?
No, that's a Nelly song.
Shake Your Tail Feather. Shake Your Tail Feather.
Ooh, no, that's a Nelly song. Ooh. Shake Your Tail Feather, by the way, has some of the most insane fucking lyrics.
I remember.
Who your name is?
On Bad Boys 2? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That song.
What your name is?
Who your name is? Oh, that song's so great, though. Where you from? Turn around. Who you came with?
That should be like if for a challenge draft. Dude, it should be karaoke on the show. It should be having to say the lyrics of Shake Your Tail Feather.
Is that your ass or your mama half reindeer? Is your mama half reindeer?
Is that your ass or your mama half reindeer?
Is your mama half reindeer?
That needs to be quote of the day. Everybody tweet that as well. Tweet that.
Nelly.
Is that your ass or is your mama half reindeer? Questions.
I'm just gonna tweet it.
One of life's great questions.
It is a fantastic question.
Oh man. This is supposed to be the end of the show too.
I can't believe that's a real lyric.
Is that your ass or your mama half reindeer? I just want if I ever feel down at any point of the day, I'm just gonna say that to myself. Is that your ass or your mama half reindeer?
Rap used to be so much better.
It used to be so good. Yeah, lyrics like that.
So much better. Ludacris had some fucking bars.
Oh, yes.
Ludacris ruled.
Yes. So many songs. I used to have, I think I had like his first two or three albums. Good stuff. Oh, all right. I need to catch my breath and get water because Jeremy gave me a headache from laughing so hard at that.
Those are real lyrics.
I know. That's what makes it funny. I couldn't just imagine the writing session. Like, oh, this is a good lyric.
This is a Christmas song. Shake Your Tail Feather is a Christmas song.
Wait, Bad Boys 2 came out in during Christmas?
Oh, Bad Boys.
That's the first time I heard that song.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it was like part of that album. So yeah, it was. When did Bad Boys 2 come out? It came out.
I can't explain it, but damn sure glad you came here. I'm still a sucker for cornrows. I never changed that.
Oh, Bad Boys 2 came out in July. So
there you go. Maybe
not, but
your body this song is banging, mama. But where your brains?
Connor,
your body is banging, mama, but where your brain's at?
Yeah, Connor, dumb.
I'm still the same cat when I was younger running with the bad boy. That's right. But now I'm on the hook, and so I'm running with bad boys. He said the same thing twice.
Hey, you know.
Candy coated, switching every other lane. You help me. Why don't you please help me? Eighth girl this week, and it's only Tuesday. Some great lines in this song.
You gotta. I like how you're doing like the Shatner reading of this. It's very dry.
Like the, I like the cocky, bow-legged ones. Uh-huh. Black, white, and Dominicans. Uh-huh. Hispanics and Asians. Uh-huh. Please shake it for Nelson. All right, folks. I think that's it for me.
Girl, go on, take it off. You ain't even take it low.
Make him go low. You see, you know.
Shake that ass through the floor. Pop something, move something. Shake your tail.
Take your tail,
Baggin' song.
Oh.
Baggin' song.
Great, great beat. All right.
Bring back hip hop.
This is vintage.
Bye, everybody.
Vintage hip hop.